I've always been perplexed by the fact that Lutherans have such decided opinions about, and in some cases against, crucifixes. Sometimes their reactions to seeing the crucifixes here in this chapel are violent. Another example of rampant Romanism at the Fort Wayne Seminary, they say. Why is that? Well, perhaps in part, it's due to our own tendencies. Maybe it's because we tend to carve up the scriptures with the result that what should go together somehow ends up being torn apart. What I mean is this. A portion of this morning's text is a verse that everybody knows by heart, even seminarians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We all know this verse. We've all called it, no doubt, the gospel in a nutshell. But while we may be familiar enough with the text itself, we are not as familiar with what follows it or with what comes before it. John 3:16, in other words, has a tendency to sit there all by itself. Let's put it this way. We like to memorize verses and quote them when we're out evangelizing, and certainly there's no better text than John 3:16 for that. But this verse begs for a question, and it is this. What does it mean to believe? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And verse 17, for God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. What this text is talking about, then, is what we believe in. The object of faith is Christ and what he does. For he is the one who has descended from heaven so that we might ascend. A certain tall, thin, bearded, accented systematics professor, I won't mention his name, was troubling earlier this week about how to help you students remember the distinction between the fides qua and the fides quae. He came up with a typically brilliant way to do this, but I must admit, I can't remember it now. My cynicism has left me feeling bad for the better part of this week, so I thought this morning I would try and clear things up, at least so I would feel better. And rummaging through some dogmatics texts, I came up with the following sentence. The faith of infants is true faith, though the fides reflexion is wanting. They have the fides specialis, which is fides actualis, which is fides directa. That should take care of it. We like to talk about faith. That's good. But too often, we talk about faith as something we do. Keep the faith, brother. Have faith. Or you weren't healed because your faith is weak. John says this, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. He who believes is not condemned. And what is it about him that we believe? Well, certainly that he is the Son of God. Certainly that he does miraculous wonders and signs. But here, specifically and pointedly, what is talked about is his being lifted up. As Christians, we're used to having crosses in the front of the church, on the altar, against the wall. But I would venture to guess that few of us would approve of having a giant serpent up in front. It would be horrible to look at the statue of a huge snake. However, it was in the cross, which was more horrible than a snake hanging from a crossbar, that God sacrificed his Son. From our own experience, we certainly know nothing is free, not even when we're told we've won a free vacation and all we have to do is sit through the pitch for a timeshare condo. Nothing is free for us, we think, but salvation is, although it was not free for God. When God saved us, he worked. He gave all of himself for us, not just a part. God so loved the world that he gave his only son means he sacrificed himself. It cost him everything he was. He emptied himself of what he was, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. For God, the death of his son was not a pastime. It was indeed what God is all about. That is why our churches and homes have crosses or crucifixes, figures of the dying Christ. The crucifix is the statement of what we believe. In the horrors of one man's crucifixion, God was releasing the world from the grip of Satan by offering his son in our place. At the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, many of us make the sign of the cross because the cross tells us who God is and what he has done for us. In fact, nothing tells us more about God than the cross. People are asking today, where was God on 9/11? Jesus himself cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But only the cross tells us who God is and what he does. The cross is where God completely and fully reveals himself as the one who completely and fully and without reservation gives himself for you. Here we see a father who sacrifices his faithful son so that his rebellious children might have life. The crucifix preaches the best sermon. St. Paul said that he was determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christianity is about the death of Jesus Christ, the figure of the crucified Christ. While it makes some people uncomfortable, it certainly is what it is all about. People without the Holy Spirit look at the cross and see an abominable, horrible death. But what was the most horrible form of execution was that moment that transcended all other moments. For in it, God reconciled the world, reconciled you to himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.